God is good. God is faithful. Glad to be a child of the King today. Just a few little thoughts I wanted to share with you. Last week I had these verses together, and so I thought about changing this morning, but then we're still here in Hebrews, so I decided not to. So I'm going to read the text here this morning, and I'm doing something a little bit different maybe than what we normally do. I want to deal with the text that we read, obviously, but something else I have in mind, and that hopefully can tie in with our text here this morning. But let me start reading there in Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll just start with verse number 8 there, because we're talking about faith and having faith in God. And I'll let you know here shortly what brought me to this. But look at verse number 8 there. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And then like this, verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Then in verse 11 says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about faith, having our faith in God. These passages, that's gospel dynamite right there. We could spend all morning dealing with the text here, and there's so much here, and maybe one time we'll come back to them and deal directly with the text. But I wanted to read these passages because they have to do with, well, particularly here as we started our reading, that has to do with Abraham. We consider Abraham to be the father of faith, or as the scripture puts it, the father of all them that believe. And that being because Abraham believed God, the father of us all, the scripture tells us about Abraham. So basically he believed God, and the scripture says he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So when you think about imputation, I've heard it put this way, and I think it's a good exclamation. You may have a better explanation, but they talk about like an account or a bankrupt account, and someone taking and putting in a sum, or in this case, a very large sum. But here, as we think about Abraham's righteousness, he believed God. He believed God's word. He believed the promises of God. He had a promise. God gave him a promise, and he simply believed what God had said. And so when, enough so much that he was willing to leave his people, his country, his family. I guess you could say that, really he left all those things that was a security to him. You know, all those things that he was used to, because simply God had told him to go. All he had was the command of God and the accompanying promise that God gave him with the command. He said, "Abraham, if you go, I'll do this for you." And Abraham went by faith. That was enough for him. I came to the text this morning, and I want to tell you why I got here. Because a week before last now, we lost a hero of the faith of our day. Anybody ever heard of the name of Brother Andrew? Amen. Yes, a few people there have heard of Brother Andrew. Well, he passed away week before last, which was September the 27th at the age of 94. He was affectionately known as God's Smuggler. And the reason he had this, I was actually driving into work a couple weeks ago, and I like to listen to Al Mohler, and he brought this up, and I didn't realize that Brother Andrew was even still living, but he brought up his passing and talked briefly about him, and he mentioned about this book, God's Smuggler, and I'm like, I've never read that, but I know I've seen that book. And so I went home, and lo and behold, there it was on my bookshelf. I think it turns out Elijah had given it to me. He had read the book, and there it was on my shelf. And so I opened it up, and I began to read it. And so this morning, as we think about faith, and we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about Sarah, and even, you know, the sons of Abraham, those that are of faith. But particularly this morning, as much as anything, I'd like to focus on Brother Andrew. Why? Because he had a life of faith. And as I began to read this book, it was one of those books that just grabbed your attention, you know, and it just sucks you in, and it's hard to put down. Now, I've mentioned it before. I'm a slow reader, and I can deal with a book for, you know, 3 months. So much so that when Shell saw me reading this book, she goes, I'd like to read that. Can I read it before you finish it? Because it's going to take you forever. And she's right, it does. But on this one, I'm moving right along here, and I'm about finished with it. And it's because of just this demonstration of faith. You know, there's a lot of people that will, even in the church world, that go around and say, well, God doesn't do this anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. And I kind of had this thought about that, you know, whether it be God doesn't do the miraculous, or God doesn't move this way, or he doesn't do that way. And, you know, if people want to, you know, hold on to that and say that's the way it is, then that's fine. And the whole time over here is Brother Andrew hearing from God. Amen. Over here is Brother Andrew hearing the voice of God, God directing him, go here, don't go there. You know, really receiving exactly what other people are saying, well, God doesn't do anymore. And he's just walking in faith. Amen. Believing. And this book has really just been an encouragement to me just to be sensitive to God and to hear the voice of God. Now, Brother Andrew was like a lot of us when he first, as a young man, he really had run away from God. He had a mother that loved the Lord, and even some of the people that were in his family were pious people. They were good people in the sense that they, you know, they went to church and all, but, we'll call him Brother Andrew just because his Dutch name, he's actually Dutch, and his Dutch name is Andrew van der Bijl, Bill, B-I-J-L. I'm not sure how you would say that in Dutch. But anyway, he's from Holland. And, when he first came to the Lord, he had fought the Lord for many, many years. He had run from God. He was sort of the, the adventurous type. He liked to live on the edge, if you will. And a lot of it had to do with just the fact that he was just angry at God for different reasons. And so he lived his life. He went out and fought the war. I didn't even realize there was a war right after World War II in Holland. And it was when the Indonesian country sought their independence from Holland and from the crown. And so he went out and basically fought this war. And in that war, he had done all type of the atrocities that, frankly, he was just really ashamed of. But yet, he was part of this corps. And one of their mottos was get smart and basically take risk, or get smart and, be crazy, or something like that. I can't remember the exact phrase that they used there, but it just meant that they were going to live their life in a reckless manner, because frankly, they didn't care if they lived or died. But God kept putting people in his path that would just speak a word to him. And God eventually, Brother Andrew surrendered his life to the Lord. And God took that, risk-taking, if you will. He took that was once used as a destructive mechanism in his life, and he used it for his glory. Isn't that something to think about? that God can take things like that and still use it for his glory. And why? Because he wasn't afraid to take that risk. He wasn't afraid to, you know, take these Bibles, as it would turn out that he would be instrumental in God using him to smuggle Bibles behind the Iron Curtain, if you will, which would be communist Russia and all the countries that were around there, Romania, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, and all those that were part of that whole thing during the Cold War was what we call it. And God used him mightily on many occasions. He would have his vehicle, this little Volkswagen Bug that someone had given him, and he would have that vehicle full of Bibles that he was taking in to communist Russia. Now, that's one thing that spoke to me so strongly. How many is thankful for this great word of God? Amen. He had paid a visit to these countries before on his first trip there, and he saw where in a congregation that was able to meet together, there would be maybe just a handful of Bibles. And there'd be a little old lady sitting on about three or four pews behind one individual with a Bible. And his responsibility would be to hold it up so she could just squint, and different ones around him could read that Bible because they just didn't have them. I mean, the Word of God was precious to them in the sense that they weren't able to read it on their own. But when they got around the Word, they wanted to read it. They wanted to hear what God had to say. And as I was reading that story over the last couple of weeks, I thought, God, thank you for your Word. Now, thank you that we have it. And so as we think about our walk of faith, truly, Brother Andrew demonstrated that walk of faith as he would come up to the borders at times with his car full of these Bibles. And there would be the soldiers that he would have to cross by, and they would be searching his car, and he had what he called the smuggler's prayer. And each time that he would come up to that border, he'd say, Lord, when you were on the earth, you made blind eyes to see. I'm praying now, Lord, that you make seeing eyes blind. And of all the years that he went into those behind that Iron Curtain, there was not a single time when the soldiers found those Bibles and took it from them. Now, you say, well, were they just blind? No, God had made a way. God had, maybe not, they weren't maybe physically blind, but yet for some reason God had touched their heart and prepared a way that he was able to take those Bibles in behind that Iron Curtain and be a blessing to those people. But as we were reading here this morning about Abraham, as we think about faith this morning and what faith is, and how it operates in our life, first we're going to find that faith is on the move. Amen. That faith moves. As Brother Andrew would say, he says, you can't spell gospel or God without go, without G-O. And I wrote that down because I like that. Lord, God, help me to go. And so God had called Abraham to go. We can actually find that over in Genesis if you want to turn there with me. We won't read the whole story just because of the sake of time. But look over in Genesis chapter number 12. We begin with verse number 1 there. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Leave your people, leave your country, leave your family, leave all things that are comfortable to you, and go to a place that I will show you. He says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God speaks to Abraham. God gives Abraham the command and says, Abraham, go. Abraham understood he had to, when we move, I read a statement this past week. I think maybe it was quoted by Alistair Begg as I was listening to one of his messages, and I went back and wrote it down. It says this, it's a quote by William Graham Scroggie. It says, the calling of God is seldom leaves a man or woman where the calling finds them. If we fail to go forward when God says go, we cannot remain stationary. Basically meaning this, that if we don't move when God says move, we may stand still, but yet we're still taking a step back. And here we find where Abraham moves forward. Abraham goes. Abraham says, Lord, I take you at your word. What you say, what you have promised, I believe your word. Amen. I believe, Lord, that you'll go with me. Now, when Brother Andrew came to the Lord and he felt that calling of God, he felt that God was calling him unto the mission field. Now, he belonged to a church organization, and I'm not going to read the whole book to you this morning, but just a few little points that really spoke to me. He belonged to a church organization that required that he would spend the next, really, he said, because of his lack of education, it would take him some 10 to 12 years to be prepared for the mission field if he was to go in the organization that he belonged to. But yet he still felt God calling him to go. And it seems like every time he tried to go, there would be a roadblock there. And he said, from his time in the war, he'd actually received a really bad leg injury to the point where it had almost left him lame, but he was able to get around on a bicycle. But yet he kind of used that. Lord, he says, I can't even walk. How am I to go into these other countries? But yet he still felt that God was calling him to go. And so he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, if you'll be with me, if you'll go with me, then I will take this step. Matter of fact, he called it the step of yes. I like that. I highlighted that in the book, the step of yes. He said for so long he'd come up with all these reasons, all these excuses of why he couldn't go. Lord, I'm lame. God, I don't have enough education. Lord, they're telling me I got to go for 10, 12 years. I can't do that. I've got to work for a living. And so he says finally he was on one of those, what you call those dikes there in Holland, and he was got away with the Lord. And he said, Lord, God, I'm going to take the step of yes. Yeah, he was lame. Now, here's where the miraculous steps in, because he said, as he sat there on that dike there and praying to the Lord, he said, I got up, and he says, I literally took a step of yes. He said, I took a step, and there was something that happened in my leg. He said, all of a sudden there was something that I felt. He said, it was like something just changed about it. He said, I took another step and another step until finally I realized that God had healed him. He healed him from his injury. Now, I like the first time I started into this book, I remember, I guess just a couple of weeks ago when I first started reading it, I thought, well, if he was still alive, then there's got to be some YouTube videos out there. And so I tear up some YouTube. And so I went in and I searched Brother Andrew. And sure enough, there he was. And I noticed, I listened to one of his messages as he was coming across the stage there. And I was in that part of the book where he'd been injured. And I'm sitting there watching him walk across that stage. I was like, well, that guy, he's walking better than me. And he was, you know, probably in his 70s then, or maybe a little older. And he's not limping. And so I hadn't got to the healing yet. And so when finally I was reading this part of the book, I said, there it is. That's why he wasn't limping across that stage, because God had healed him. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that every time you step out on that step of yes, God's just going to heal everything about you. But I will say this, God healed Brother Andrew. And God used him to go into those countries, and he took that, what he called the step of yes. Now, he found out that, yeah, he wasn't going to be able to wait those 10 to 12 years for his church to give him the approval to go into the mission field. But there was an organization called the World Evangelical Crusade, the WEC there in Europe. And, he says he found out that he could be a part of that. And so he sent in his resume, he sent in a letter, and they refused him the first time because they only had a certain amount. Well, even that, God said, go. And so Brother Andrew steps out and he goes. He went to, I guess maybe it was England. I think it's where it was, where the school was. Not even having a place at the school. And he shows up at the school and they said, what are you doing here? Didn't you get our letter? We refused you. We don't have a spot for you this year. He goes, I know, but I'm going to be right here ready when you do. And sure enough, a spot opened up. He ended up, able to stay at one of the main people at the school there. A brother and sister Hopkins, he affectionately became to call them Uncle Hoppy and Mother Hoppy. And he says that one thing he learned about Brother Hopkins is that a walk of faith sometimes just doesn't make sense to anybody else around you. Man, I can just imagine this morning that when Abraham went to his family and says, I'm leaving, they probably thought, why? Where are you going? Well, I don't know. What's going to be there when you get there? I'm not sure. Well, then why are you going? Because God told me to go. God told you to go. Yeah. God told me to go. It's almost like I think about when the disciples, especially Peter, remember when he was on that boat that day? Well, when he was out there mending his nets with his fellow companions, I think maybe it was Andrew and who was the ones that worked with him? Andrew and James, I think maybe, were the ones that were there in business with Peter. And there was Jesus that walked up to his boat. The crowd was there, and Jesus says, Peter, push off a little bit. And he began to teach from his boat, and there's Peter listening to Jesus teach as he's mending his nets. And he'd been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a thing. And finally, Jesus looked at Peter and says, go try again. What? Now, Peter's a professional fisherman, right? He knows how to fish. He knows when to fish. But yet, Jesus says, go throw your nets out again. And so Peter's like, well, we've toiled all night and we hadn't taken a thing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. If you haven't ever highlighted that in your Bible, now is a good time to do that. Nevertheless, Lord. I think it was what, Luke chapter 5 is where the story is. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word. And of course, we know what happened after that, don't we? I mean, Peter pushed out. He brought in a draught of fish so great that he had to call for his friends to come and to get the fish on board. And as he got back and he fell on his face before the Lord, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, Peter, henceforth, you're going to fish for men. And the Bible says what? It says he left it all and followed Jesus. Would make sense, would it? You just had the great haul. You just caught all these fish. You know, wouldn't make sense to sell all your equipment then and then follow Jesus. But yet that's exactly what we find Peter doing. And so often that step of yes or that step of faith might not make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But when we know that we've heard from the Lord, I mean, we can take that step knowing. Now, as we think about the story of, particularly of Abraham, there's one thing I want to bring out. Look over just a few chapters, if you're still in Genesis. Go over chapter 17, verse number 1, because this is important to know. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. Or I am, we know the term El Shaddai, right? I am El Shaddai. Or I am the Lord who is present. See, God gave Abraham a promise, and that promise was what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. It may not make sense what you're doing or what I've called you to do, but I will go with you. And as Brother Andrew learned there, as he was sitting there with Uncle Hoppy and Mother Hoppy, that he said that sometimes Uncle Hoppy, he had a little congregation. He led a little church there. He said he would get up behind a pulpit and he would begin to preach at times that the pews would be empty. There'd be no one there. He said, it didn't make any sense to me. There's Uncle Hoppy preaching to empty pews. And he'd talk to him after church. He'd say, Uncle Hoppy, I don't understand what you're doing here. He said, there's no one there. He said, yeah, but now we're going to go out and find those that should have been there that wasn't there. And he would go out into the streets and he'd go say, here, this message was meant for you and you missed it this morning. And so I'm going to give it to you now. And he made this statement, and that's another one I wrote it down. He said, time and place are our limitations. We must not impose them on God. Amen. Don't you know this morning that we are serving a God that is not limited by time and space? Amen? He is a God that, as he promised Abraham, he says, I am El Shaddai, or I am God who is sufficient. Amen. God who is sufficient for what? For all our need. Amen. He's our provider, isn't he? It's God that provides. Now I'm thankful this morning that I'm thankful for a job tomorrow, Monday morning. You know, Lord willing, I plan, you know, to be there. But ultimately, it's not my job that is my sufficiency. Amen. I often think of the story, and I probably shared it with you before. Was it Elijah that when he was by the brook Cherith, right? That God was supplying him with that brook, and he was bringing in the food with the raven and all that he was doing, and then finally that just stopped. Amen. Why? Because God had other plans. And it was because the river dried up, God still was going to provide for him. He had a little widow woman there somewhere that was going to provide. You know why? Because God is our provider. God is sufficient. And we just say, Lord, I just trust you. That's what a step of faith is. God, we're trusting you that you are our El Shaddai. You are the God that is sufficient this morning. Amen. He who is sufficient. He says, I am the Almighty God, or I am the El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. Abraham was faithful in the waiting room. He was faithful as he waited for God, as the Lord had promised that he would have a son in I guess maybe some 25 years in the waiting. But yet still we find that Abraham knew that God was faithful. Amen. And that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do. I am El Shaddai. I am God who is sufficient. I wrote down the Young Literal Translation of that. I like to go to that sometime because the way they expound upon some of the text. And it says this, that same verse, wherefore also from one were begotten, and that of one who had become as dead, the stars of the heaven in multitude. That God who is sufficient made Abraham, who was dead, bring forth a son. He is good as dead. But yet God can bring life from death, can't he? And that's something to think about this morning. Amen. That our God is a God that is sufficient this morning. God can take those things that are dead and breathe new life into them. And so as we think about a step of faith, we think about Abraham's example that he's given to us. And then as we're looking this morning at this man that stepped out and really risking his own life, you know, putting his own life at risk, he found God to be faithful. He found God a present help in time of need. Amen. That God did show himself just as he has asked him, Lord, if you'll show yourself faithful, Lord, if you'll provide, I will follow. And each time that he went across those borders, each time that he had those Bibles in the back of that little car, God provided. And God made a way. And Brother Andrew was able to go all throughout those countries. And there were some situations, if you get the book and read it, you'll find there were situations when, you know, things got rough and, you know, they could have really been bad for him. And some of the people that he would visited would suffer because of, you know, him coming there and giving Bibles. But yet still he continued on. Still he talked one time about his first visit. I think it was to East Germany. And when he went into East Germany, one thing that he noticed about the churches is that they had more freedom to meet than in any other country. But yet they were more discouraged than any of the churches that he had went to visit. And he really couldn't make sense of that. He's like, well, you know, why is it that you would think that a church that had less persecution would be more joyful? But the reality was that the East Germany, they had taken a different approach. They were allowing the churches of Jesus Christ to meet, but then they were creating these counterfeit groups. For example, if instead of a young, they would allow young men, you know, to be baptized, or young children to be baptized, but they also offered this counterfeit to that, what they called a welcoming service. So, meaning they were welcoming them into the state. And they did the same thing with that of a wedding. You know, we think of a wedding being, or at least, you know, up till really recently, we've known that a wedding is usually takes place in a church. It does seem like, you know, we're kind of going away from that, but it takes place in a church and it's usually, you know, a Christian service. A preacher typically does the service of some sort. Well, they had the same thing, but then the state started offering another option or a counterfeit that was less expensive and it wasn't held in a church. And so these counterfeits started, they were watching the percentages of people that came to the church to be married versus those that went to the state to be married. Those things would be given lopsided. It was the same thing with the funeral service. I'll be honest with you. Some of the stuff I'm reading in this book is like, wow, I see some of that going on around us today. If services that used to be Christian, and it was the same way there. They had a Christian funeral service. Well, the state started offering another option. And so what had happened, that people were going to this, and the church was just becoming more and more disheartened and more discouraged. And Brother Andrew said he went into these churches and he saw how downcast they were. They had the freedom together, but yet they were so discouraged. And he said, the one message I kept preaching to them is God has sent you to evangelize. God has sent you to spread the word. And after the service, there were some of the people that come up to him. He says, Brother Andrew, you don't understand. He says, you have the freedom to go around and preach. You have the freedom to go from country to country. We don't have that. We can't leave. We're right here. And Brother Andrew, he said he really felt the Lord lead him. He said, I looked at him. I said, listen, be thankful God has brought the mission field to you. You don't have to go anywhere. It's right here before you. Spread the word. Tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Amen. Be ready, as Peter said, to give an answer to the hope that's lying in you. And he said it really just seemed to encourage those people when all of a sudden they realized that, they had a mission field right there before them. They had a mission field that they could work. I mean, as we got that today, don't we? You and I work beside people that have never even attended a church building. A lot of our young people have never heard the gospel. I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't know about this wonderful news of Jesus Christ. You and I, amen, on the mission field. Brother Andrew said he's learned one thing about missionary work is that when you have a church that is a mission-driven church, they're a church that's alive. And why? Because they're not just holding on, but they're letting it out into the world. Amen. They're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's our desire this morning, is that we too would follow that example. As I said, I'm not going to read that whole book to you this morning, but there was just so many examples of times when God just stepped in and did a miraculous work for them and supplied the need. And after the Iron Curtain fell, or after the Soviet Union fell, and really it was opened up for evangelism, it was opened up for Bibles and different things. Instead of Brother Andrew saying, okay, my work's done here. Now, by this time, you know, he's getting on up in the years. But instead of stopping, he turned to the Middle East and he turned to those Islamic countries. He says, okay, Lord, now you're sending me there. I mean, you're sending me to go here. So he continued on in his ministry and he began to take those Bibles into those areas that were also very dangerous to take in. He finished strong all the way up to the end. He was a part of the ministry. One of the interviews I had watched on the YouTube videos I was looking at about Brother Andrew, He was the founder of the Open Door Ministry. But they said, don't make any mistake about it. When you see that term founder, don't think that he was just in an office somewhere giving out direction. They said he was on the front lines all the way up to the end. He finished well. He ran, what they say is runners. He ran through the tape, if you will. He didn't just start off fast. He was consistent all the way to the end. Amen. That's my desire this morning. Is it yours? God, help me to run through the tape, Lord. Help me to be faithful all the way to the end, to finish. I'll be like Apostle Paul as he fought a good fight, kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen. That's our desire this morning, is that we continue on running this great race, continue fighting the fight, not just starting out, you know, and an average middle and then just slowly coming to a stop until we're not busy doing anything for the Lord. But I know I've shared that with you guys before when I was in high school and we had to run that cross country. I hated cross country. It wasn't that long now. Looking back now, it was like 3 miles, but it was up and down cow fields and ruts, and it was awful. We just had to do it to get in shape for basketball. I love basketball. I wanted to play basketball. I just didn't want to run cross country. But that's what we did. We run cross country. Well, I was awful. I didn't like it. We had some guys that were fairly decent, but there was a group of us that just did it because we had to. And so we finally come up with this strategy. It worked really good for a while. When that gun would go off for the starting line, we would just sprint wide open. And we've been running for all we could until we got out of the sight of the coach, because he would stay at the finish line. And we just stop and walk. I guess he thought we must have lost steam. I don't know. But it was kind of fun leading there for, 100 yards or anyway, however long it took to get out of their sight. It was sort of fun leading that long. But, eventually we might get back up and start jogging a little bit. Until the coach finally called on to us one day. And he went around to the halfway mark and saw us coming through. And, well, that was that. After that, we had to put in forth a little more effort. In our walk with the Lord, that's our desire, is not just to start off fast. But, Lord, we want to continue on. Amen. We want to be strong in the middle. And, God, most of all, we want to be strong in the end. We want to be like Brother Andrew and run through the tape. Amen. That we finish our course that is set before us. But I would, if you could, I wanted to get a few of these books, and I haven't done it. I still may. I had checked a couple websites, but we can get them. I would just have to order them and invite you to read about this great man of God that it's just like anything. You know, there's some opinions about him that they're like, particularly, I guess, when all the stuff went on with Desert Storm, he was sort of, what's the word? There's people that sort of frowned on some of the stances that he took because, he really had a heart for the Islamic countries, and he was already going into these countries, and God was using him to minister and to preach the gospel. And I guess the last thing he wanted to happen was for us to go in there and start dropping bombs on them. He wanted to drop the word of God on them, right? And so he made some statements that people really didn't like about the war there. And even when, I guess, when we took out bin Laden, he made a few statements there that sort of got him some bad press, if you will. I think about that now. It's like, it's hard for us to understand. God had put such a love in his heart for that people that he wanted to see them come to Christ. He didn't want to see him buried out in some, ground. He wanted to see him come to the Lord. And he's like, I've been praying for bin Laden. God was going to do a work in his life. Maybe so. But he has that much faith. He knew the power of the gospel. And he knew what it could do in the life of the most hardened individual. Amen. Isn't that something to think about? Even though he became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he knew that God was able to do the very same thing to others that would respond to this truth. And so he went in knowing that what they needed, was the Word of God. Amen. And I read in one place there about the impact that him bringing the Bibles in had. But you know what meant as much as anything was the fact that those believers, whether it be behind the Iron Curtain or in those Islamic countries, when those believers knew that there was someone else that was praying for them, there was someone else that cared enough to go, amen, to put their own life at risk. And just the fact of them, an outsider, coming into their country and preaching the gospel to them and encouraging them, each time he left, he said they were always the same way. We're so glad you came. And we're so glad to know that there's somebody out there that's praying for us. We can feel so alone back here sometimes. Just feel like we're all by ourselves. But when we know that the body of Christ is praying, amen, that means so much. I mean, I know that we believe in prayer this morning, don't we? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so as we think about these people of faith, whether it be Abraham, and I know, like I said, I didn't deal so much with the text as I'd like to with Abraham, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen. He looked for another kingdom, didn't he? And as the verse we read there, he died in faith, not having received the promise, but had seen it afar off. He saw it down the road. Amen. And he didn't even get to the end of his days and say, well, it didn't come in my day, so there's nothing to this. No, he held on to it to the end and passed it on to his children and to their children. Amen. Knowing that God was faithful, that God would do what he said he was going to do. How many of us are still serving a faithful God today? He's the same God. Amen. He's the same God as he was today. Amen. And so we may not be called to go behind some iron curtain somewhere or some Islamic country, but you and I can be faithful right where we are today. The mission field has been brought to us, hasn't it? Amen. That there's so many around us that don't know Jesus. We have the words of eternal life. Amen. It's our desire that God would use us today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for men and women that we have in Scripture and in our modern day, as has been demonstrated here in the life of Brother Andrew, this great soldier of the cross that has really, we know that he's with you, Lord God, that he has received his eternal reward. And God, we have these examples of people, these heroes of the faith, if you will, that have endured to the end and went through hardship and struggle and have been found faithful. And God, that's our desire this morning as well. God, that we would be faithful to the end. God, when so many may turn back and walk away, God, we want to be faithful. God, because we know that you are a faithful God, Lord, and that what you promised, you are able and will do. And God, we put our trust in you and our confidence in you, God. Use us for your glory. God, may we be a missionary church, God. May we be a church that reaches out to our world and to our area. God, you use us for your glory. God, help us to bring forth fruit in our time. And we thank you for it, God. Thank you for people like Brother Andrew, where they were faithful to the end. And God, may we one day be considered the same. God, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord.